It's one of Maine's most valuable assets, and yet many of us take it for granted, and some avoid it altogether. The Maine Outdoors is more than what's not inside. It's a valuable brand that attracts visitors from all over the world. But for lots of Mainers, winter is a thing to be avoided. My guests today are working as a part of a large coalition to change that mindset and bring families outdoors to celebrate the state's offerings, to get some exercise, and help the state's economy. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, Warren Whitney, Land Trust Program Manager for Maine Coast Heritage Trust, Scott Ballantyne, Senior Product Developer for L.L. Bean, and Lindsay Burgoyne of the Appalachian Mountain Club and lead organizer for the Great Maine Outdoor Weekend, which takes place March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, with a wide variety of events across the state. Join the conversation. What's your favorite late winter outing? This is Maine Calling. ...1-800-399-3566, email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Welcome to our guests. We'll get to our conversation in a minute, but first we're going to go to Augusta, and we have a special guest. Rex Turner is the Outdoor Recreation Planner for the Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands. He joins us by phone from Augusta. Rex, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to have the opportunity.
We figured right off the right out of the blocks here, we'd give you a chance to pitch some of what's coming up on this weekend, which is March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. What's happening in some of the state parks and other events?
Well, we have specifically at four of our state parks, we have events going on, and they're a nice combination of activities, really. And one of the things that's great about them is a number of them rely on partnerships, which I think is kind of in the spirit of this entire endeavor that's being put forth here. So a couple of things we have going on at no particular order, but starting at Mount Blue State Park, over the weekend there's going to be a new trailer that we have, which through support from a number of groups, including L.L. Bean, we now have a mobile cross-country ski and snowshoe trailer so that anyone who wants to come to the park on the weekend can get fitted for and use free of charge these snowshoes and skis, and hopefully the conditions will pick up, and especially the skiing will pick up there. We're kind of crossing our fingers on the weather like a lot of folks, but so that's going to be all weekend at Mount Blue. On the 3rd at Mount Blue, we're going to be having a guided snowshoe outing that I'm actually going to be leading on the from the Center Hill area of the park, going out to a couple of overlooks near the Center Hill area. Great views of the Western Mountains, and a little further south from there, but still in sort of the western part of the state, we're going to have an activity with the Androscoggin Riverland State Park and a wildlife-focused snowshoe outing there with Joe Wiley, who's a wildlife biologist for Inland Fisheries and Wildlife and regularly works with us on wildlife management on our properties, and this is in conjunction with the Androscoggin Land Trust. And so that would be another great opportunity if people want to learn about animal tracking and other wildlife-related activities. There's a lot of history at that new park as well.
And is there a website to find out more about some of this stuff?
Yes, these are all listed on the Great Maine Outdoors website, which probably should get plugged here, greatmaineoutdoorweekend.org, where all of these are hosted, not just our Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands activities, but the whole suite of these great activities that are being offered up for the weekend, and all the details about what to bring and who to contact if you have questions. Those types of things are there and are searchable for these activities.
Okay, great. And just a quick word about snowshoeing. I mean, snowshoeing is essentially hiking, but it's in the winter and you can't walk sometimes on deep snow, but it's really hiking. With the use of snowshoes, is it difficult to get people sort of to jump into snowshoeing? Are they intimidated, or is it difficult?
I would say compared to a lot of activities, it's really pretty gentle learning curve there. Certainly, if you wanted to go up some of the real steep terrain and in super deep snow and things like that, it might be a little challenging for someone who hasn't been on snowshoes before. But I think that it's a pretty good out-of-the-gate activity where, especially with modern snowshoes, if you get the, you know, a well-fitting pair of shoes that is appropriate for your size and is not going to come off, they're really, after a short adjustment period, I think it's a really pretty newbie-friendly activity.
Okay, well, a good chance to get out and try it out. Rex Turner, thanks for joining us today. Rex Turner is outdoor recreation planner for the State Bureau of Parks and Lands. He joined us by telephone from Augusta. And our guests in studio, Scott Ballantyne, senior product developer for equipment at L.L. Bean, Warren Whitney, Land Trust Program Manager, Maine Coast Heritage Trust, and Lindsay Burgoyne, Maine Policy Associate for the Appalachian Mountain Club. Let me throw this out to any of you, and it's a cynical question because I am by nature a cynic. And that is, in a state like Maine, whose history is so steeped in the outdoors, how have we come to this point in our history where it seems now that we need to encourage our residents to go out and explore the wonders of our natural assets?
I think you've got to look at all the factors that are competing for everyone's time, and we increasingly see children, adults connected to electronic devices, spending so much time online, and having other things that are getting in the way of remembering that heritage of being outdoors. And part of the purpose of this weekend is to remind people of this heritage and remind them of the great natural resources that we have here in Maine. And that we can, they should get out, take advantage of it, reconnect with the outdoors, do a little bit for their health, do a little bit for their kind of hopefully mental health, relaxing, spending some time outdoors, and enjoying winter, getting out of winter during mud season. Right now, especially today, seems a little muddy in a lot of parts of the states, and enjoying that.
So is this a generational change? Because we didn't have to do this with our grandparents, as I recall. They were usually dragging me out by the ear.
I think some of it, you know, that today's youth obviously is spending a lot of time with screen time, and obviously that's an important part of their social atmosphere. But at the same time, we want to raise people's awareness that being outdoors is equally as important. And I think a lot of people just these days don't know how to engage in the outdoors and get past the barriers to entry, whether it's knowing where the public lands are to recreate or to go where there's some opportunity to learn a new skill. And the goal of this weekend is really to connect the people of Maine to the outdoors and knock down some of those barriers by showing them a whole range of activities up and down the state, just a lot of different types of activities in the hopes that we can intrigue some new users to the activity, as you said, newbies in snowshoeing.
Yeah, Whit, you mentioned, you know, this is I don't know if we're officially in mud season, but we are at my are at my house anyway.
Yeah, certainly today.
And I mean, I'm guessing that the timing of this weekend, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, is at a time of year that is not known for its high profile tourism, you know, appeal. It's sort of like the no man's land of the year. People are tired from winter, but it's not quite spring. How do you see this time of year in terms of the overall picture?
Well, I think that this time of year is there's still a long ways to go until spring, and no matter what it's doing today in terms of the temperature, it's going to be a while before we're planting gardens, enjoying the summer activities. So this is a way to get people to celebrate winter, and you know the days are longer, it's sunny. Hopefully, if you're a skier, you're getting some spring skiing in. It's more likely to be a little warmer than it would be 6 weeks ago. And you can take advantage of that on this weekend and other weekends. But hopefully, if you're new to this, get out this weekend and enjoy some great weather and some great activities.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. How much of this is driven by economics, Lindsay? You know, I assume that the people in the outdoor recreation industry could use a little help at this time of year, which, as we said, is sort of not perceived as there's some skiing going on when there's snow, but sometimes gets short shrift. Is there an attempt to boost the economy around this industry?
Yes, Keith. I think that wasn't necessarily a point of this weekend, but I think it's a great added bonus and really encourages people to get outside and try some of these new activities, and maybe these activities become kind of things that they would like to continue doing over time and maybe invest. But I think one of the big points is to connect people to organizations that offer these. And we did try to make sure almost all of our events provide the gear that people need so that they can try this out. This is an introductory level activity, and they can try out snowshoes or skis, as Rex mentioned, with the Bureau of Parks and Lands trailer, and a lot of our local land trusts are borrowing equipment so that people can try it out. And then the hope is, you know, if somebody really enjoys that event, maybe they will want to get a pair of snowshoes for themselves and also get out in different parts of Maine and, you know, learn about the different opportunities there are year-round, not just on this weekend.
Scott Ballantyne, this probably wouldn't hurt L.L. Bean, I'm guessing, selling a few more snowshoes.
No, but I think, you know, Bean's history, this is our 100th year, by the way, got to get that plug in there. You know, our history is to be involved in with our stakeholders, which our customers are very much part of that, in helping them to get outside and developing future customers, especially the youth, is a real important part of our mission. So it's not just selling them something today, but it's getting these people outside and recreating and building for the future and obviously keeping those people healthy. Also, the other big part is, you know, working with a lot of these conservation groups. I mean, who is going to be the next generation of the land stewards coming up? I mean, when you look around at these meetings, I mean, there's a lot of middle-aged folks in there, but we need to engage the youth and be sure that they're out there voting and participating and becoming members of these organizations so that the lands and the access do get protected for the long term. So that's, you know, it's a long-term investment in keeping people outside.
We were talking before we came on air, but yeah. I had a friend who was a photographer, and he was a person who had a relationship with L.L. Bean in which he would try out equipment. He would, yeah. you know, a backpack or, you know, the tripod or whatever it was and sort of offer feedback. Does that still happen?
It does quite a bit. A lot of it we do ourselves, fortunately. That's why we have the best jobs in the world, we think. But we do a lot of times our product cycles are several months off from what the weather cycle is doing in Maine. So we do ship stuff all over the world to get it tested by guides and outfitters and everyday people who work outdoors like park rangers and game wardens.
This really goes back to L.L. Bean himself, yeah. the founder, who asked a neighbor to try out his first pair of boots.
Exactly. And a lot, if you read a lot of the early Bean catalog copy, there's certainly a lot of anecdotes about L.L. being outside and hunting and fishing and talking about this being the best product to use for a certain activity.
1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net. Tweet us @MaineCalling or post to our Facebook page. Join the conversation. Share maybe some of your favorite wintertime outdoor activities, places to go. Maine Outdoors is a phrase that I'm assuming has some real power as a brand. We're in the age, the modern age of branding, where everything sort of can be used to advertise and promote. Was there difficulty using Maine Outdoors as a brand, Lindsay? Did you have to, you know, set aside the domain names and?
No, we haven't had too many issues with that. I think we're really just adding to that brand. Maine is such a beautiful place, and Mainers are really fortunate to have access to many public lands. And we always use the lines that Maine has nearly 3,500 miles of coastline, many of that undeveloped, and the largest undeveloped tract of forest east of the Mississippi River. We have this, you know, vast expanse of public lands and beautiful places to recreate. And I think adding to what Whit said earlier, Maine's a really special place because there is a great tradition of outdoor heritage and people that work on the land and care about this landscape. And also we have these great organizations that really connect people to the outdoors, and all of these things really set Maine apart. And I think it sets us apart from a lot of our neighbors. And we really think that's worth celebrating. And I think, you know, a lot of groups and other, you know, offices of tourism and whatnot would be excited that we're using this Maine Outdoors and really adding to the brand by the 85 events that we're having over the weekend.
Are you borrowing from other states that have done this? Are they, for example, trying to pitch Minnesotans on ice fishing, or are there other models that you looked at?
We haven't actually seen this anywhere, and we're pretty excited about that, about being the first, and I think that's another thing that sets Maine apart, as I just mentioned, that this is really worth celebrating what we have here in Maine. And Scott and I were chatting earlier, and we were saying we really hope to see some of our neighbors take on this model, because although it has been a little bit of work gathering all the events and putting them onto the website, other than that, it's really just been kind of a community effort of people coming together, and it hasn't been too much time. It's just been this kind of conglomerate of activities that people are excited about.
Do you have a goal, for example, do you have a way of measuring the success of this? You want X number of people to come out, or?
I think our initial goal was to try it back in, you know, we started really pushing this in September, and our original goal was let's do 100 activities across the state of Maine, and we really wanted to have the geographic diversity and the diversity in the activities, and we think we've gotten that because we have things from Kittery to Fort Kent. We've got east and west covered. We've got some, you know, winter clamming activities. We've got traditional snowshoeing. We have a golf tournament. I mean, we've got this really amazing diverse group of activities. I think the thing that really has intrigued me about this whole project is the diversity of the groups that we're working with. I mean, we have people from the government side of things. We have people from the retail side of things. We've got all these great land organizations that have all pitched in, and everybody's, you know, jumped in and signed up. And, you know, we can't echo enough having people go to our website, thegreatmaineoutdoorweekend.org, or going to the Facebook page and liking us so that we get that word out across the state, because we really want to challenge Mainers to get out on this particular weekend and bring friends with them.
Okay. I want to hear more about winter clamming. First, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions, send us an email, talk@mpbn.net, tweet at MaineCalling, or post a comment to our Facebook page. And while you're there, friend us. Or you can give us a call, too, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling.
The year is 1628. Sweden launches its newest naval warship, the Vasa.
The ship was the most powerfully armed warship in the world.
Less than a mile out of port, it tips on its side and sinks. Four centuries later, archaeologists think they know why.
It's the last gasp of the medieval way of thinking about building a ship.
Why the Vasa sank, next time on The World.
Join us for The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock.
On the next Fresh Air, the impact of super PACs on the presidential campaign. We talk with Trevor Potter, a former member of the Federal Elections Committee, who advises Stephen Colbert on his super PAC, and James Bopp, the lawyer who initiated the Citizens United case that ended up in the Supreme Court and opened the door to super PACs. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. On today's program, exploring and discovering the great outdoors in Maine. My guest, Scott Ballantyne, senior product developer for equipment at L.L. Bean, Whit Whitney, Land Trust Program Manager, Maine Coast Heritage Trust, and Lindsay Burgoyne, Maine Policy Associate, Appalachian Mountain Club, and one of the organizers of this weekend on March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th that we're talking about. Before the break, Scott, you mentioned winter clamming. Fill me in. I have to say I'm picturing cold, bare knuckles and
well, if it's a day like today, which some reason the sun just poked out, I don't know where it came from, but it would be a beautiful day. This is over in South Freeport at Wolf Neck State Park. It's a partnership with Bureau of Parks and Recreation. They're going to have one of their folks out there demonstrating winter clamming.
Winter clamming, okay.
Which a lot of people do in Maine. My father, who is close to 80, gets a license every February, and he's the old man in the mud flats down in York Harbor. And I know, you know, a lot of people make a living doing that, so it's a chance for people to get out and experience that. Wolf Neck is a fabulous state park that's just minutes from downtown Freeport. And, you know, if you haven't been there before, it's worth checking out.
We have a tweet from a listener who asks, are there any special plans for that weekend to include geocaching for newbies?
You know, I don't know specifically if we have any geocaching events, but I do know we have quite a few, three or four GPS scavenger hunts. So learning how to use GPS and getting out there and really trying to find some things. And I think that they're, Maine Audubon is doing something like this, and the Belgrade Regional Conservation Alliance is doing an event like that. And they're offering prizes as well, so that's an encouragement to get out there.
GPS, I guess, is now a modern tool for outdoorsmen instead of just compass skills.
Well, and many people have it on their phone these days, so it's very accessible. You don't even really have to go out and buy a separate device in some cases.
Yeah, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. We'll take some of your calls in a moment. First, Whit, tell me a little bit about what the your organization does, the Maine Coast Heritage Trust. We hear about it, but what's its core?
Well, we're a statewide land conservation organization working in partnership with other organizations and many of Maine's 93 local land trusts. We work with willing landowners who would like to conserve their land, either through conservation easements, through working with us so that we can own those lands in some cases, through donations or purchase to create nature preserves. And we'll set up hiking trails and try to get people out on these properties. We're also increasingly working on community projects such as boat launches or access for clambers. We mentioned clambers before, so that some of the clambers have access to the climbing flats and other things. So identifying parts of communities that are especially important to that community and the community wants to see it preserved, how can we help?
Is access an issue for people recreating in Maine, knowing where they can and can't go or not having access?
Well, both, yes, absolutely. I mean, increasingly, and we work primarily on the coast, Coast of Maine is obviously very popular, and there are a lot of people who over the years have been buying areas, buying properties that were once had access, either through they were public or landowners allowed that to happen. And as these properties have been purchased, in some cases they haven't, that access has disappeared. And so we work often to identify where are places that are especially important to provide access to the water, to lakes, the fishing hole, the beach, the whatever, the all tide boat ramp, that kind of thing. And how can we get that access to continue?
And for the event, there's about 20 land trusts that are participating and have different events or access on their property. So it's a great opportunity for people to get out if they don't know about the land trusts that are in their region to go onto our website and see where these are happening and explore these areas.
Okay, 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. We go to Topsom and Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I'm an AMC hike leader, and I've been taking out quite a few beginner outings this winter. And I think something people need to realize is winter, you don't have to have snowshoes or cross-country skis, especially with the lack of snow along the coast. We've been doing a lot of outings using microspikes or grippers. And I think I'd love to see more people get into those and enjoy the outdoors at this time of year.
Those, I assume, are some sort of strap-on device that keep you from falling down.
Correct.
Like crampons, sort of thing.
They're a little easier to get on and off than the crampon you're probably thinking of, and they're not quite as invasive, and they give you great traction on the hard crust snow that we see on the coast and allow you to be a lot more sure-footed.
It's like golf shoes, maybe.
Yeah, probably pretty darn close.
Michelle, yes, go ahead.
Good way to talk to say it's kind of like golf shoes, but for wintertime. And depending on where you're going to go, there's different ones that are more aggressive than others. But this is going on all the time. It's not just a one-day event. I mean, especially folks can go out to the AMC website, amcmaine.org, and there's a calendar full of events going on. I do quite a lot of things year-round with my local land trust as an AMC leader. There's also a local hiking group here in the Topsom area that we go every week on an outing. And there's other communities that have similar folks that have put together a hiking group. So there's a lot available out there, and I just hope folks get out and try to, find what's available to them in their area.
Okay. Thanks, Michelle. We have a message on Facebook from Melanie, who says that her favorite winter outing is shopping in Kittery. Part of this, I assume, is also there are indoor options in Maine now that there weren't years ago, right, in the winter?
Scott? Yeah, I mean, there's indoor climbing walls. I mean, there's different things you can do inside. But I think the goal for this weekend for us is to get people to get outside the door and experience an activity that's within their comfort zone or try something new because, a lot of the sponsors like Winter Kids and the ski areas in Maine, I mean, they can equip you, they can lead you through it, they can instruct you. So it's really just that great opportunity to maybe step out and get outside and enjoy it.
I guess what I'm getting at there is as we go forward and become more developed in Maine, we may see more indoor soccer facilities, more indoor golf facilities, so that sometimes business will look to take that opportunity indoors and add further competition for some of the events that we're talking about today.
I think that's true, but we're hoping that to get folks outside as opposed to indoors and off their virtual games and virtual skiing or something like that that you could do on a computer and get them out there and really experience, because it's a lot different being in the fresh air, on real snow, and being able to take advantage of that. It's healthier, and just being outside is we're hoping, more fun for everyone.
Mainers, I guess, as many Mainers, suffer a deficiency of vitamin D in the winter, mm-hmm. which is a very real issue because they're not out in the sun.
Yeah, and somebody noted, I mean, the days, if you watch the news and they give you the daily almanac, I think we've added an hour and 36 minutes to our day length since December, which is huge. Last night, you know, walking outside at 5:30, there was still redness in the sky. So there's optimism, and people, you know, let's get out and enjoy it.
There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Even though it's mud season that you have to tread through first, you know, celebrate the mud season. Get out there and get muddy and have some fun.
I'm just kidding. I do like this time of year. Jason in Durham. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
What was your you had a comment about inviting friends to join you and getting them hooked?
Yes, if you are an experienced hiker, bring a friend to one of these events this weekend. I'm on my way to Katahdin for a ski traverse for 4 days. In April, I'm leaving to do the Pacific Crest Trail. And 13 years ago, I had never hiked once in my life. A good friend of mine took me to Mount Chocorua. I became hooked. And now it's a big part of my life. So take a friend to one of these events.
Jason, what was it? Do you remember the moment when sort of the light went off and you said, wow, I like this?
We were on the top of Mount Chocorua, fully unprepared, snowstorm blowing in, and it was a very exciting moment. And we made it to Jim Liberty Cabin. We heard there was supposed to be a wood stove there. There was no wood stove. We had a freezing night and an epic journey down. I'd never done something so challenging and so fun in my life, and now I'm hooked.
Wow, sounds like fun.
That's the spirit of it.
I'm good for your weekend, I suppose, but a great adventure to be had out there.
All right, Jason, thanks for joining the program. Are there some people who are just sort of indoor people and you'll never reach them? They just rather watch movies and eat popcorn. You're trying to reach those who are sort of on the fence, and you're trying to push them out the door a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think we realize there's definitely people where, you know, it's like a lot of things, not everything's for everybody, but there's a lot of folks who aren't going outside in the winter or going outside at all because there's some obstacle, whether it's transportation to a trailhead or they need gear or there's a fear of something they need to get around where they may need some instruction. And again, this weekend is really a chance for them to get out there and get past that and hopefully either meet some new people to do this and share the experience with or become involved with an outdoor group or a land trust or somewhere where they can continue to enjoy this throughout the year. So that's
right.
Really the goal is to get those people who are interested but just need a little help getting that push out the door, as you say.
Right, and as we mentioned, many of the activities are introductory, beginner-level events. So if you're listening and you don't consider yourself an outdoors person but you're somewhat curious, this is a great opportunity, and I think over 80% of the activities are free.
All right, let's go to Bangor, and Doug is standing by. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I am an avid outdoor person. I've been doing snowshoeing most of my life, and over the last 5 years, I've gotten into cross-country skiing, and my wife has started doing it. She found out that once you're moving, you warm up, and it's very nice to be out. However, as you know, today we have rain, and all the snow's gone. I was wondering if L.L. Bean especially L.L. Bean, has ever considered the impact of the global warming debate, and I was wondering if they have any stance on that, and because that's definitely part of the outdoor environment impact situation. So I was just wondering if L.L. Bean is taking any kind of proactive stance on that.
I'm sure it's. I'll speak for you, Scott. It's probably outside of your area of expertise, I'm guessing. Doug, good question. I'm just not sure it's for this program. But
I wasn't sure either, but I thought maybe I'd just see if it was.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, listen.
If we have a way of getting in contact, I can certainly get you an answer. My primary role here today is I'm, you know, an outdoor person, and we're just trying to fire up the people in Maine to get outside on this given weekend. And
sure.
We're taking a, you know, a stance on that and really trying to get people outside.
And enjoying the weather, whether there's snow or not.
Yep. Yeah.
That's, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you. We are going to take a quick break here. The number to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Stay with us.
Intelligence Squared U.S. tackles America's critical issues.
Obesity is the government's business.
Government can't make us thinner. Government can't control our personal behavior in that way.
We were seeing it in children. We were seeing hypertension in children.
It doesn't work. Government fails.
Pediatricians were expressing great concern.
The next motion up for debate. Obesity is the government's business.
Join us for Intelligence Squared, an Oxford-style debate this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listener contributions and by SCORE, seeking business-savvy volunteers to mentor small business owners at 7 locations in Maine. Information online at scoremaine.org.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. We're talking about the Maine outdoors, and in particular, an event coming up March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And Lindsay Burgoyne of the Appalachian Mountain Club, you're one of the organizers of this event. Just remind people about the website and how it's structured and how people can find out what's going on.
So the Great Maine Outdoor Weekend is a series of events led by all kinds of different outdoor organizations and companies. And we currently have 85 different events. They're all listed on our website, greatmaineoutdoorweekend.org. We also do have a Facebook page, so we encourage people to come on and like us. We're pretty excited about this. We have events from, you know, York to Fort Kent, Rangeley to Carrituck to Grand Lake Stream. So we're going to be all over the state. On our website, there's a great feature. It's a map. If you click on event map, and it actually shows all of the events across the state. So you can actually search by location so you can find something close to home and close to you.
So you can't have an excuse that, oh, well, there was nothing near me. I couldn't do it.
That's true.
No, and I think a lot of people think they may need to travel to get to some of these. And, you know, even if you live in Portland, Portland Trails does a phenomenal job with trails all over the city that you can either walk to or take a bus to.
1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. The number again, 1-800-399-3566. Winter golf, I'm imagining that it's well, tell me about it. Does it use a different sort of ball that's more visible or –
So we have quite a few really interesting events that have kind of piqued our interest. I've been receiving all the events, and every once in a while I'll say, wow, that seems like a really different event. And this event comes from Project Learning Tree, as well as the Maine Snowmobile Association, and it's actually snowmobile golf. So on North Pond in Rome, they'll be having a big snowmobile golf tournament. And, you know, Keith, I'm not exactly sure the details, but I imagine that you you putt the ball and snowmobiles are out there and there's tennis balls and everybody's out on the lake having a good time. There's lots of refreshments and it's going to be a great event.
Check our Facebook page after the weekend. There'll surely be some video and photos of it.
Yeah. Either way, I'm going to three putt, so it doesn't matter. 1-800-399-3566. Let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi. I've got a question. I hope it's okay to ask about a question about access in the summer.
Try it out.
Okay, I'll try. I have, in the winter, my exercise is logging, so I don't have to. But in the summer, my wife and I love to go down to Casco Bay, and we have a little sailboat we trailer, and we can camp on the back in it, a little cuddy cabin. Now, the problem we're having is even with the public launches, they don't allow you to park overnight. In Yarmouth, they have very limited parking. I called up like Paul's Marina where I used to moor a sailboat, and there's a town ordinance there where they won't even let you, Paul's Marina can't let you park a vehicle overnight because the town prohibits it. How do you have access? It isn't getting access to put your boat in. It's where do you park your vehicle?
I've got
you want to spend two or three nights out on Casco Bay in your sailboat.
Sure. Let's try, let's go to Rex Turner, who's been standing by in Augusta, who works at the Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands. Rex, did you hear the question?
I did hear the question, and I can't give you a specific example such as park here and you'll be all set. But I think one thing that springs to mind is looking into a partner organization that we work with the Bureau a lot, which is the Maine Island Trail Association. And they have a lot of relationships with the coastal communities associated with the Island Trail, and their guidebook and other they're a great resource for those types of things. So that's one little avenue you could explore that I think might give you some information.
Well, we've tried that. My wife belongs to that group. It's still a problem with parking. Most of the towns down there along the coast control access to the water by controlling how long you can park your vehicle with a trailer.
Right.
Well, and that's how they control access to the water.
Paul, tell you what, we have your number. We'll get back to you with information that we can.
Any place around Portland, if you could find a place and get back to me where you can leave a car park, even if you got to pay $5 a night or something.
All right, we'll do that for
with
you.
With a trailer.
All right, thanks.
It's to impossible.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for joining the program. 1-800-399-3566, and we go to Garland and Al. Hi, Al.
Hi.
Hi, Al. You're on the program. Go ahead, please.
All right, good. Thank you. I appreciate what you guys are doing. My wife and I are at snowshoers, and I started doing that from I've climbed the New England 4,000 footers in both summer and winter, so I have some pretty good experience. But getting older, I do less exciting things now. But we get out on the lakes a lot in ponds, and we grab the gazetteer, find a pond, get to it, and circumnavigate it. I've actually circumnavigated Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire, where I had to take camping gear with me and set my tent up in places where I wouldn't get run over by a snow machine. But and as long as you're a clean camper and you take everything with you that you brought out, I don't think you're impacting the lakes at all. But there's so much water in Maine that I think I've never seen anybody do that, camp by hiking on a lake. And that's just something we find really neat.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Al, you're already a convert. This has been part of your life. What's your take on why we are now having to prompt people to go outside in the winter?
Well, again, technology. I think that's just nobody is doing physical things anymore. I mean, I'm 65, almost 65, and, you know, I just stopped ice climbing 5 years ago, and I was climbing where the 25-year-olds climbed. And it's just, I'm not sure why. They're just not motivated. They don't want to make the effort. I don't know if they're not teaching it in school enough, where, you know, even physical education programs are being dropped in school.
We'll continue the conversation and maybe someone else can weigh in. Al, thanks so much for joining us today. Let's go to Brunswick and Ralph. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for airing it. I just came in from outdoors and was pleased to hear you talking about the subject. I'm a high school teacher, and I want to counter what Al just said about young people getting out. We run an outing club in my school, and we take kids out. We try to go out once a month and expose them to outdoor life sports. And I also sit on a board of a group called Teens to Trails, which some of your panelists are aware of, I know. And our mission is to support and promote outing clubs in every high school in Maine. So we're a statewide organization. We've made inroads into many new schools and support existing clubs in a lot of schools. Teenagers are kind of overlooked on this topic because, you know, as little kids, they have lots of opportunities to go outside, and adults clearly make these choices. But teenagers don't have the chance to go out. They choose not to hang out with their parents, but they love to hang out with their friends. So high school groups are a great way to get them out and expose them to these life sports.
Ralph, is it your take that they also have just a lot more things that they can do inside than they did, you know, maybe when I was growing up in the 1960s? You know, if the television was turned off or, you know, bowling for dollars was the only thing on, then we went outside to kind of escape our parents a little bit. But now kids have other options. Is that part of it?
That's a big part of it. A lot of distractions, a lot of organized options, a tremendous emphasis on organized sports. There are a lot of kids sitting around with nothing to do, and they turn to their electronic gadgetry as a fallback, and they need to be turned on to these things. We had some kids out just a couple of weeks ago up on a mountain near Rumford on that one really cold day we've had this winter, and I think it was probably the highlight of their winter to be out on a day like that and in the bracing cold and you know, to see the mountains around them, and I didn't hear any mention about missing their Facebook or anything like that. Very invigorating.
All right, Ralph. Thanks for calling. And let's go to Wiscasset and Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hello.
Yes, Kim. Welcome to the program.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm calling from the Morris Farm Trust in Wiscasset, and I just wanted to add on to a comment I heard earlier about hiking outside in the wintertime with grippers on your shoes. We usually do a lot of snowshoeing on the Morris Farm every winter, and this winter with the lack of snow, I have to say we've worn our snowshoes out there anyway because it does help with the ice. So I'm taking a group out tomorrow, a group of kids from the Wiscasset Community Center, and we'll hike through our trails. And it's possible we'll even bring those snowshoes just in case we get to some icy inclines.
All right. Great tip. Thanks, Kim.
Sure. Thank you.
We have a listener from Camden who proposes winter picnics on lakes. Not something I would have thought of, but she says it's wonderful and easy activity.
And one of the things that some people do on lakes is dog sledding. There are a lot of dog sled groups in western Maine, I know, that head out on some of the Ranger Lakes area, and I'm sure in other parts of the state as well, that dog sled, and it's a great time, and the dogs enjoy it, I'm sure, and they camp out on the lakes, I believe, and get outdoors that way.
I think we have at least one dog sled activity on the list.
We do. We have a couple, and actually it's the weekend of the Can-Am dog sled race. That's going to be in Fort Kent, so we hope to have some people get out and watch that.
Is it your sense or your hope that over time we will begin to develop momentum where this becomes more of a part of Maine's or is reestablished in Maine's cultural identity, or are you going to have to do this every year in perpetuity?
I think our goal is to do we're going to do one this winter. We already have plans to do one the end of September next year as part of Public Lands Day to really sort of stimulate the bringing this to the forefront to people to get them out there. And then hopefully the goal is that people will start doing this on their own and make these relationships and friendships with the different land groups and organizations so they get out there on their own. So hopefully it'll build that big snowball into a bigger snowball.
Right, and we've had so much fun planning it that we hope you know, people will come out and have fun and want to do this again and maybe connect to some organizations that can take them out more often and year-round. And if they don't, maybe we'll catch them in September and they'll come out for our Great Maine Outdoor Weekend that we're going to host September 28th to 30th.
Okay, and this Great Outdoors Weekend is March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And once again, Lindsay, the website and a quick wrap.
Yeah, the website is greatmaineoutdoorweekend.org. All of our events are on there. Today we have 85 events over the 3 days. We have 70 participating organizations, including 20 land trusts, which we're really excited about, in 65 different locations. And as I mentioned, we have events from York to Fort Kent, Rangeley to Carrituck, all the way to Grand Lake Stream.
All right. Thank you so much to my guests, Lindsay Burgoyne, Maine Policy Associate of the Appalachian Mountain Club, Scott Ballantyne, Senior Product Developer for Equipment at L.L. Bean, and Whit Whitney, Land Trust Program Manager at Maine Coast Heritage Trust. And from Augusta, Rex Turner, joining us by phone at Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands. Thank you to all of you, and it sounds like it's going to be a really fun weekend.
Thank you.
Today's program produced by Jonathan Smith. John Keimel ran the board. We had help from Rich Tozier and the MPBN web team. You can listen to this conversation and previous editions of Maine Calling by visiting mpbn.net and click on the radio tab. Tuesday on the program, the food trends of 2012. We'll get a report on the South Beach Wine and Food Festival and comments from local cookbook author Katie Gunst. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.